to fear, and grace will lead.
Okay.
Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangerous tools and snares I have already come, grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've known less days to sing God's praise. And when we first begun, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
Thank you all for that. That was so beautiful.
Yes.
Our gospel reading today is from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. It can be found on page 74 in your New Testament section of your pew Bible. Luke 12, 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich toward God. And our epistle lesson is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. You can find this on page 201 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Two lessons, really. You look at Luke, the reading about the man who had everything, built up his storehouse, was set, and then God says, tonight, your life is expected of you. So that man who was wealthy, focused on worldly things, and just when he thought he had everything set, he had everything figured out, God comes that night and takes him. Paul, talking to Colossians, is focusing them on whose they are. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Christ is the fulfillment of God. And all of God is in Christ Jesus. All of God chose to reside in Christ Jesus. The disciples said, show us the Father. Jesus tells them, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. We know in John, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And nothing was created without the Word. And then the Word took on flesh and came and dwelt among us. That Word is Christ Jesus, the embodiment of God. That's in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul has told us that in the fullness of Christ, the fullness of God in the fullness of Christ, you and I have a fullness in Christ. Absent Christ, you and I are going to always be something less than. We need to be fully open to and allowing Christ to be in us. Paul is very cyclical in his logic. He uses what he's presented before and then uses that for a logic tree, as it were. If this, then that. A flow diagram. And he's trying to talk to this church and convince them or reassure them that the focus they need to be on is not on worldly things, earthly things, but on Christ Jesus and how important He is to us, because it's relevant today as it was relevant to them then. Chapter 3, verse 1. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. What does that tell us about Christ? One, we've been raised with Christ. We're with Christ. We're told to seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That tells us that Christ is elevated above everything that's earthly. Christ, when we look at where He is, He's right beside God. Now, that's not to say He's up in heaven and not here with us, because we know He said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." He's here with the Holy Spirit, present with us right now. But the elevation and looking at Christ, who's there by the right hand of God, the Father. And you and I are going to face judgment one day. Yes, Jesus Christ is all about forgiveness. Yes, Jesus is all about grace. Yes, absolutely. But there will be a judgment. We have to confess with our lips, believe in our hearts, that Jesus was redeemed, raised by God, then we have salvation. And our salvation is based on what? What we do? What we say? No, it's by our faith. Who can tell whether or not we're faithful? Now, you and I can do things that other people see us do. We can say things that other people can hear, that might lead them to believe, oh, that must be a Christian. Look at what they're doing. Look at what they say. Or they say they're a Christian and, well, look what they're saying. Look what they're doing. How many times has that happened? But, you know, we can't pull the wool over God's eye. He knows our heart. He knows the intent. He knows every trial, every tribulation, every failure, every place where we've fallen short. And He loves us anyway. He went to the cross because He loves us enough not to leave us left there in death, the wages of sin. Believers have no private life of their own. You and I don't have a private life. If we're Christians, raised with Christ, that life that we lead, that life that we lead, is not just ours. It's no longer just us. Our life is the life of Christ, maintained in being by Him at God's right hand, and shared by Him with all His people. Their interests, our interests, must therefore be His interests. Instead of waiting until the last day to receive the resurrection life, this has been raised with Christ. We who've been raised with Christ possess it here and now. This is not a wait for 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 when the trumpet sounds and the clouds depart and Jesus descends and the graves give up the dead and the believers rise together and we meet Jesus. Now, after our baptism, we're dead to sin, born to life, the Holy Spirit indwelling. Now, that doesn't mean we're perfect. Right? You guys heard that. Baptism doesn't make us perfect. It starts us on a path where the Holy Spirit can come in. And as we open up and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, that amazing grace is going to take charge. And even though we're wretches, oh, we're saved. Why? Because God loves us. Not because of what we've done, but because of our faith in Him. Here and now, this new creation, or the regeneration, has already begun in you and I. Spiritually, that is to say, in Christ, they belong already to the age to come and enjoy its life. You and I don't have to question or doubt and say, well, when it happens, then we're gonna be there. We're already moving in that direction because we've been saved. So Paul says in verse 2, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. In the gospel lesson, that man had everything that you could hope for. Plentiful crop, large barns, and he was set. And then he tore down the barns, built bigger ones, and then said, now I can kick back and relax because I'm set. And God says, not so fast. Your days are done. So we're to set our minds on things that are above. Those are the things that Christ Jesus calls us to do. And what are those things? Jesus tells us that the great commandment is, thou shalt love thy God, thy Father, with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, and thy strength. And the second, no less than these, is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, when they heard that, they said, well, Lord, who's our neighbor? And then he tells them the parable or the story of the Good Samaritan. And who was the good neighbor? Who was the neighbor? The Good Samaritan. Now, we all hear that and think, oh, the Samaritans are good. Why? Well, because of the parable. We all know that it's the Good Samaritan. Well, in the Jewish tradition, the Samaritans were the trailer trash. They were the lowest of the low. They were the outcasts of Jewish life. Nobody was lower than the Samaritans. And yet, the rabbi passes the man who's been robbed and beaten. The good Jew passes him by. Who stops to help him? The Samaritan does. So what is it that we're supposed to do? We're supposed to be the good neighbor. That tells us what we're supposed to do. We love God, and because we love God, we love our neighbors as well. And how do we love our neighbors? By caring for them. Paul tells us not to let our ambitions be earthbound. Why? Because no matter how massive, no matter how awesome, no matter how magnificent it is, if man builds it, it will not last forever. Just not going to happen. Anybody seen a picture of the Sphinx in Egypt? Or the pyramids of Cheops? Well, what we see today is nothing like what was there 1,000 years ago. The Sphinx used to have a nose. The French army took care of that. They blew it off, used it as target practice. So don't build up things on earth because they're not going to last forever. Don't set so much store on those that we're not paying attention to those things that are most important. And those things are the lives that we're going to nurture and help grow that are going to be here long after we're gone. That's the truth. So where do you invest your time? Where do you invest your efforts? Where do you invest your prayers? In our children, our grandchildren, in our neighbors. Verse 3, for you have died in our baptism, dead to sin. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. Remember in chapter 1, Paul told the Colossians that the deity, God, all that is God, was comfortable, abiding, and residing in Jesus Christ. In chapter 2, he says that Christ completes us. We're all in Christ. So verse 3 has a different or more powerful meaning. It's our life is hidden with Christ in God. In other words, God is in Christ. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And because Christ is in us, then we're hidden with Christ in God. Not focused on earthly things. Not. Now, that's not to say that we're not going to suffer the trials and tribulations. That's not to say that the first century Christians who were suffering persecution were suffering in vain, or that they shouldn't have been suffering. There's no promise that we will not be put to trial, put to test. If anything, Wesley, scriptures, Christian tradition, reason and experience and tradition tell us that Christians have been persecuted for 2,000 plus years. There's never been a time when Christians have not been persecuted. Why? This world persecutes those who follow God, just as the prophets were persecuted by the leaders in the ancient world, put to death because they were speaking the word of God. So the Christians have been put to death and are being put to death even today. This, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. This is the powerful peace that we have. That's not to say that we're going to have blessings and not be persecuted here. But when Christ comes back, we're going to enjoy that eternity with him. They call it parousia, the second coming or the second advent. That glorious time that's foretold in 1 Thessalonians. That glorious time that's foretold in Revelation chapter 20. That glorious time when the end of the age has been determined by God and Jesus comes back. And we get the new resurrection body. Not the body that breaks down. Even though we can have titanium hips and steel knees and cow heart valves or anything else that man has put in a human body to repair it, to replace something that's worn out. You and I are going to have resurrection bodies. We will not age. We will not fade away. That's what we have in store. We're in Christ. Christ is in us. So because of all of that, all we have to do is kick back and relax, right? No. Look at verse 5. It says we have to put to death or put off whatever in you is earthly. And then there's a laundry list. Not a very nice list. Fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because on account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient or who do not obey. These are the ways that you once followed when you were living that life. But now, we must get rid of all such things. And in addition to the others that were announced, we're also supposed to lay aside, to put off anger, wrath, malice, slander. Everybody loves a good story, right? I heard it said. I didn't see it myself, but I heard. If we retell something that's negative about someone else and we don't know it to be true, even if we know it to be true, but we're spreading it, why? Just don't go there. And abusive language from our mouth, we're supposed to put those off and get rid of those. We're not to lie to one another. Because we've stripped off that old self with its practices. And it's not like we're naked. It's that we've exchanged one for the other. In our baptism, we're dead to sin. When we come out of that water, we are raised to life. We're raised to a different life. And that's a life living our lives with Christ, not in the shadow of death, darkness, despair, doubt, following that diabolic devil. We are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of our Creator, God. It's not anything that man's created. It's not anything that man could even come up with. It's what God has come up with. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is all and in all. God is fully in Christ, fulfilled in Christ. You and I are fulfilled in Christ, made more full, more complete by Christ. And Paul closes it again by saying, Christ is all and in all. Nothing less, nothing more, because Christ, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was God, the Word was with God, and nothing was created without the Word. God spoke into the void and created everything. And everything means you and me. And amazingly, these graceful, wonderful voices here. Christ in all. In all. Hallelujah. Amen. Shalom.